Ezra chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. Getting ready. Getting ready for what? Getting ready for the long trek across the desert, the howling wilderness, the dangerous place, back to Canaan, back to Jerusalem, back to Judah, back to Judea, so that they can rebuild the temple, the house of the Lord. The Hebrews moving back. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Notice the 2 points. They're moved in their hearts. And who did the moving? Where is the energy, the power, the will to come to do this? Where does all that come from? Everyone whose heart God had moved. So God is in it. God is working here. He's stirring up these people. He stirred up the heart of Cyrus. The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, verse 1. Yes, the Lord had done it, and the Lord had done it here. But it's not just the Lord. Remember this. Everyone whose heart God had moved, these people, they prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. They got down to it. They rolled their sleeves up. Somebody had to pick up these parcels and these packets and these crates. Somebody had to load the cart. Somebody had to trudge across the desert. These people had to walk. They had to travel. They've got to get down and build this temple. They've got to restore the ruins and all the rest of it. God isn't going to do it for them. The fact is, the Lord moved them. And the Lord moved their neighbors too to assist them with articles of silver and gold. Whether this is the Babylonian people or some other Hebrews there, I don't know. Perhaps the Babylonian people. Remember when the Hebrews left Egypt? The Egyptians loaded them with gold and silver and so on. Anyway, whatever the rights of this, whosever's hearts were moved by the Lord, these people got down to their work and they prepared to move back. God is sovereign in this, but we're responsible. You know, it's Philippians 2, 12 to 13. These texts come over and over again. Work out your own salvation, for it's God who works in you. It's God and us working together in this matter. Prepare to go back. Go back and build. Now, we should get into their boots here. Now, I've been thinking about this. Let me try and illustrate it for you. It's a personal illustration. I'm speaking from the United Kingdom. I'm almost 80. Right. Imagine that the Nazis, the Germans, had won in the Second World War, that they had conquered Britain. Then I was born in 1940. You can say that all my life I would have been under Nazi rule. Certainly for a good proportion of it, since 1950, 1945 or whatever. This is about the time period. So although I have got some memories, glimmers, just little episodes of life before the Nazis in the 40s, most of my life from 1950 on, judging by the 70 years here, then most of my life would have been under Nazi rule. My children, they would have known nothing else. My grandchildren would have known nothing else. And my great-grandchildren would know nothing else. Can you imagine now the opportunity to go back to Britain, pre-1940, to travel back physically, I mean, and actually move back into those times and try and sort it all out with all the hazards of crossing this desert and wilderness and all the rest of it that these people have to face? Can you see the task that's before them? Remember Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 to 32, is said to them, God has said through Jeremiah, you settle down in this land for 70 years. You build and plant there. You marry there. You settle there. You live there. You pray for the peace of these places, prosperity of these places, work there. These people have known nothing else. And now they have to cross the desert, leave this culture, this way of life. They have to face their enemies in the desert. They are certainly going to face enemies in Canaan. They'll be faced with ruins. They've got to rebuild it. Their life has been shattered. And what for? For a temple, for Canaan, for Jerusalem. You can hear them speaking, but no, we don't hear them speaking. I think it's a very wonderful thing. They really wanted to put the house of the Lord first. This is the old covenant, and the temple is vital for them. Jerusalem. If I forget Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her cunning. Oh, yes, they long to go back. And they did not have all the modern age now that we have. You know, we got jet travel. They could have got on at the airport and got off at Tel Aviv and boof, they're on their home. No. They could have had lorry loads bringing it across the desert. No, they've had to trudge it. They didn't have mobile phones or sat labs and all the rest of it. Are they really going to do this? But of course, they began to flag, and Haggai the prophet, read the Haggai the prophet, and you'll see he's used to stir them up, to call them back to this priority of building the temple. This is a staggering, Babylon helped, verse 6. They had preserved the articles, and they brought them out of their temples and back to Jerusalem. But the Jews had to do the work of trudging and carrying and building. They had to be uprooted. And they have to face their enemies, as I've said. No wonder Spurgeon talked about the sword and trowel. Yes, you have to defend, you have to fight, and you have to build. These people had a vision, they had determination, they showed priority. What about the new covenant? How about Matthew 6, verse 33? Christ says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Put God first, before your career, before your own happiness, before your success, before your name, before your fun and pleasure, entertainment. Surely that's what Christ is saying, Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And these Jews, in their old covenant days, were seeking the temple and the building of the temple, the prosperity of the temple, the restoration of the temple. This is surely a word from me. How concerned am I for the advance of the gospel? How concerned am I for the purity of the ecclesia, the Church of Christ? What do I want to see about the gospel? They wanted the land and the temple, praising God. What do I think? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Brother and sister, do you not feel the challenge of this? They're getting ready. Are you getting ready to serve God, to advance his cause, to please him in this fallen world? Let me read this hymn by Georgiana Taylor. Seek ye first not earthly pleasure, fading joy and failing treasure, but the love that knows no measure, seek ye first. Seek ye first not earth's aspirings, ceaseless longings, vain desirings, but your precious soul's requiring, seek ye first. Seek ye first God's peace and blessing. Ye have all, if this possessing. Calm your need and sin confessing, seek him first. Seek him first then, when forgiven, pardoned, made an heir of heaven. Let your life to him be given, seek this first. Seek this first, be pure and holy, like the Master, meek and lowly, yielded to his service wholly. Seek this first. Seek the coming of his kingdom, seek the souls around to win them, seek to Jesus Christ to bring them. Seek this first. Seek this first, his promise trying, it is sure all need supplying, heavenly things on him relying. Seek ye first. May that be true for me. May the Lord move my heart, and may I be willing to do the rough work and trudge and build and do what I can to advance God's cause in this fallen world. May God give me grace to look to him and to go on with all the strength that he gives me to serve him. Oh, brother and sister, you feel the same. For Christ's sake, and I hope, unbeliever, I plead with you that you would seek Jesus Christ. Remember that verse? Seek him first. Seek him with all your need and sin confessing. Seek him first. In other words, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved now.